The case against Attorney General Curtis Hill is new. There will be more developments in the coming months, and we'll keep an eye on the story as it unfolds. We do want to take some time now to look back at a case that was unsolved for decades. Rebecca, you followed the April Tinsley case a little while you were at the Journal-Gazette. Care to start us off with a timeline?
In 1988, on Good Friday, 8-year-old April Tinsley was walking home in her Southside, Fort Wayne neighborhood and was abducted and later found murdered in a rural DeKalb County cornfield. The case was cold for a number of years. There were some occasional contacts with law enforcement with the person they believed to be her killer, but nothing was ever able to be connected to a person. And so in spite of DNA evidence, in spite of handwriting evidence and other pieces of evidence, they were never able to connect it to anyone that they believed committed the crime.
What finally broke loose that led to the arrest of John D. Miller?
A few months ago, the Fort Wayne police detective that's kind of working on cold cases had utilized a similar procedure to what was used in the Golden State Killer case in California, using a ancestry-type DNA database to connect DNA that they had collected from the scene and from some of these other pieces of evidence that they had to family members. And using that procedure, they were able to identify Mr. Miller, who's in his late 50s and living in Grable, as someone believed to be Tinsley's killer. He's charged with murder and awaiting trial in Allen County Superior Court.
The Tinsley family has requested privacy. Any developments still to come that we'll cover as a news team?
Crime coverage isn't really something that we do a lot of here at WBOI, but this case is a little bit different because of the importance to the community over time. What we'll probably do is keep our eye on the criminal case as it proceeds and just kind of try to do some explaining about the DNA procedures that were used, how the process works when you're charging a case that's that old, and just try to provide our listeners with contextual coverage that's meaningful as we go forward.
I have a couple more questions for you while you've got your news director hat on. The Pew Research Center published data on American newsrooms. They've shrunk down by 23% in the last decade. You've been in journalism for going on 20 years. Thoughts on the next 20?
Newsroom shrinkage is something that I saw firsthand. It's something that, particularly in print newsrooms, it's not a new situation. I have many friends who lost their jobs due to downsizing in the industry. There's a number of factors that contribute to that, and to put the blame on managers or on companies entirely is not really fair, but it is a problem. And when communities lose newsroom size, they lose coverage. I think that for journalism to remain vibrant, I think more media outlets are going to have to adopt a nonprofit public media type model that seems to be a little more stable when you look at the charts. Public radio and public television stations actually are doing okay. And nonprofit outlets like ProPublica, those kind of media are doing pretty well.
This week, Governor Holcomb announced that he would support hate crimes legislation in 2019. It would still have to get through the General Assembly. Do you think that it'll pass?
I don't know if it'll pass or not, but I think we're getting to a point in the culture at large where this kind of behavior is growing in one area and yet at the same time being met with fury on the other side. I think that Indiana is getting to the point where we don't want to be one of just a handful of states that no longer has this legislation on the books. So I think that even though the state continues to lean far to the right, I think it's probably something that you'll see some traction on going forward.
WBOI Presents will continue after a short break.
We'll hear from Araceli Gomez-Aldana and Zach Bernard about their coverage in July. Stay close.